Please do be seated. And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's one of those wonderful golden threads of history that runs through the Bible readings today. Because in that reading from Micah, Micah about 700 BC, maybe 701, on a September, but it's very ancient. But actually, even Micah looks further back because he refers to Bethlehem as Ephrathah, and that's just the old name for Bethlehem. So, you know, like Istanbul used to be Constantinople, you know, like Iceland used to be Bijam. Even 700 years BC, Micah looks back to former times, but talks about the role that Bethlehem will have in the history of the Jewish people and the history of Christianity, and draws that through. And then we see in Mary's song, Magnificat, her vision for what the future will be of equality, where God's rule reigns supreme, where there will be freedom, where there will be an end to oppression. That's what the future holds, and that's what we're called to be part of. And so through the readings, you know, there's this thread that goes, you know, thousands of years, which gives us the continuity of our faith. If you had to allocate a piece of software to the gospel writers, you'd probably give Matthew the spreadsheet, which he'd probably then turn into a database, because he likes details and he likes regularity, and I can just see him filling in the columns and rows and sort. Mark would probably be the, you know, the presentation package, you know, because he likes the image, he likes the graphic, he likes it, you know, doesn't want to waste too much time on words, just get it out there. John would probably just be the cloud, you know, with a sense of the deep spiritual meaning of the world. And Luke would probably be the word processor, because he uses words, certainly in the first two chapters of his gospel, so well and so precisely. There are many parallels between Matthew and Luke when they talk about the birth narratives of Jesus. But one of the distinctive differences is that Matthew comes at the birth narrative very much from Joseph's perspective. And he grounds it in one of his lists, the genealogy. That's how he starts off, you know. Line one, line two, line three, line, you know, column A. Whereas Luke looks at the birth narrative very much from Mary's perspective. And we get two shades of the same story, which are very different. But it's as if that ancient world that Micah refers to, and the role of Bethlehem, sort of comes, it's a crossover point as the old and the new come together in the passages that we've had, that come in the beginning of Luke's gospel, and the passage we had from Luke this morning. Just before this, the passage, Luke talks about the birth of John the Baptist. And we're familiar with the story of Zechariah, who is got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, the pinnacle of his career, if you like, but also the focus of Judaism, of offering the sacrifice in the temple. And there are at least 10 parallels, very clear parallels, between what happens when John the Baptist is announced and what happens when Jesus is announced. There's a man and a woman who are very devout, Mary and Joseph, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Gabriel appears on the scene in both stories. Zechariah is disturbed. Mary is disturbed. Gabriel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're going, well, Elizabeth is going to have a child. Mary, you're going to have a child. He will be great. He will be great. His task is described. His task is described. How do we know this is going to happen? And a sign is given. And for Zechariah, that sign is that, well, you'd be silent. For Mary, that sign is that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, but also she's told that Elizabeth is pregnant. So there are, you read through those passages, and there are exact parallels. This is not an accident. Luke has used those words so precisely. Because part of what Luke draws out is that we are at this hinge point between the old and the new. The sign that Zechariah has is that old world order falls silent. It's not that it all gets destroyed and smashed up. It is just falling silent in the presence of the new. As Christ comes to reveal that new world order, so the old falls silent. It's not an accident that there are so many parallels. There are mirror images of what happens. And in that sense, the old, through Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, and John, the old announces that the new is coming. When Mary goes and visits Elizabeth, John moves, leaps in her womb in the presence of the new. And the sign that God gives Mary is, in that sense, a sign of something beginning. First of all, the sign says something's happening. Things will change. Things will not be how they have been in the past. Something is happening. Something new is happening. You know, it's as if, you know, winter's ending in the Narnia Chronicles. You know, something new is happening. It's a sign, too, about recreation. It's a sign about creation of the Messiah, but it's a sign about recreation of God's creation, about that renewal of the creation that God has created, about the fulfillment of what the Jewish people were about in that sense. And in one of the songs in Luke's Gospel, in Simeon's song, he talks about Christ being the light to the Gentiles and somebody who will bring glory to the Israel, to the people of Israel, so that Jewish faith will have glory through the revelation of who Christ is. And that's exactly what we see in these stories that we have today. It's also interesting in the kind of birth and early narrative of Jesus in Luke's Gospel. You can actually split that into ten little sections, and the eight bits in the middle are four pairs. And then at the beginning and the end, what we see is an old man, Simeon, at the temple, the old world order. He's been waiting. And we see an old man. And at the end of that passage, we see a young man, Jesus, in the temple. The old has passed, and Jesus is there with a new interpretation of what the scriptures are about. And you see that hinge point, you see the old transforming to the new in these passages that we had today from Mike, from Hebrews, and from Luke. That as the old passes, so the new comes. It's an act of something is happening. It's an act of recreation. But also, it's a sign that God gives to Mary and to the world that God himself is intervening in our world. God comes, God with us, Emmanuel. God intervenes in our world in a new way. And it's because of that intervention, Mary is able to sing her song. She speaks in the Magnificat about what God will do. And that's what God invites us to do. Because it's very easy for us, as we get closer and closer to Christmas, to get wrapped up in the way that we always do Christmas, or the small things that are different this year. But it's very easy to get wrapped up in, well, you know, on Boxing Day we do this, and on Christmas Day we do this, and on, you know, Christmas Eve we do this, and we have our own sort of rituals, the way we do Christmas. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But sometimes it's easy just to get so wrapped up in that, we forget the newness that God brings at Christmas. As Jesus comes, as God is made incarnate, Emmanuel, and that newness and that creativity which God gives to us in order that we can be part of his work with him. So that as we look at the Magnificat, as we look at Mary's song which we had read for us today, we too are called to be part in bringing freedom to the world. We too are called to take our part in the political process, to make sure as far as we can that those in authority are aligning themselves with those things which are good, those things which are fair, and those things which are godly. That's part of our responsibility. That's part of carrying that gospel message into the future. So that those people in the future, those people not yet born, will also, just as we have inherited the heritage that Micah spoke about, that Jesus brought to a reality, that Mary speaks about as a future vision, we are part of bringing God's kingdom here on earth into a reality, into a new way for those that we will meet this Christmas time. Amen.
Amen.